Good to have everybody here. How great is it to be here for our first 8:45 Equip corporate prayer? This is really special to be able to be together and to pray. What our kind of aim and our hope for this time is that it would be a time of prayer, but we want our time of prayer to be actually directed and focused like a laser by the scriptures. We feel like, especially in the New Testament, we have so many different examples of what prayer could look like. And so I just wanted to give a short devotional thought on Ephesians 3, just to give to warm our hearts and to focus our prayers. So I'm so glad you're here. So this passage in Ephesians 3, and hopefully you have a handout as well. I didn't provide any pens. I apologize about that. This is a very deep passage. It's one that you will mine and mine and mine and not get to the bottom to in this life or in the ages to come. It's one of those kinds of passages. And so what I want to make to begin with as an observation is that what's happening here is Paul, the Apostle Paul, is praying. Actually, he's writing to Christians and he's telling them how he's been praying for them. And so these are believers in Jesus. And if you know anything about Paul's theology, if you have come to Christ, if you have called on the name of the Lord, trusted in Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, what happens there is the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so what's really interesting to notice is that he's writing here to Christians who already have the Holy Spirit. That's going to be a really important insight for us here as we begin to pray and as we are in the context of believers who have the Holy Spirit or have Christ dwelling within us already in one sense. Okay? So I want you to keep that in mind as we go forward. Now, the way I'd like to go forward is just to ask four different... I'm still a little sick. I feel good, even though I'm coughing. I hope it doesn't distract you too much. So I want to walk through and answer four questions really briefly on what is Paul praying for this community of believers. And I think it's right for us to then be able to pray this particular prayer for us as well as a community of believers. So the first question I want to ask of this is what? The what? Hey, my wife is here. Good to see you. So the what? What is he praying for? For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family on earth and in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches... We haven't got there yet to what he's praying, right? That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you... Here it is. Here's the what. He may grant to you to be strengthened. That's what he's praying. And then we see it as well in verse 17, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have, here it is again, strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Christians, what I'm praying for you is that you would have a kind of strength, a kind of God-given ability, a kind of spiritual sturdiness. And so what that tells us is that one of the great problems for us as Christians and as communities of Christians is that one of the main issues that needs to be addressed by God among us is weakness, fragility, a lack of power, a lack of strength. Sometimes we feel very excited. I mean, these Christians surely were very excited. They were passionate about Jesus. But he comes to them and he says that what I'm praying for you is that you would be strengthened in ways that you don't even realize you're weak. Okay, so he's praying that there would be a strengthening taking place here. Next up, let's on your paper, I believe it says how next. What does it say next?
After,
why? So what we're going to do next is where. So skip down to where. Okay, What kind of strengthening is Paul after? Is it a muscular strengthening, as I am the perfect model of? Okay. No, it's not a physical outer strengthening. What he says is that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit. Here it is. In your inner being. There is an inner being, an inner person kind of strengthening that's needed. He goes on in verse 70 to say that so that Christ may dwell where? In your hearts. So there is an inner heart kind of strengthening that's needed. We see this also implied in the last verse here. In verse 19, he says that you may be filled. Okay, this is something that's happening on the inside of us that needs to take place. This is really helpful for me. We need a kind of inner man strengthening that only God can give. And that's why he's praying to God for this, for these believers. Next up, let's look at the why. The why really is we talked about the what already, the strengthening, but the why is the purpose for that strengthening. Strengthening for what? And so I'll switch colors here for us. Go green. This is beautiful. This is what Paul is saying. Even though you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, even though there is a very real sense that Christ already does dwell in your heart, there is a greater sense that this can be true of you. Look at what he says here in verse 17. I'm praying that you would be strengthened. Where? In your inner being. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. He begins to touch on this wonderful reality in the Christian life that to greater and greater and greater degrees that we can actually have a spiritual strengthening in our hearts to have this communion with God, this walking with God. Christ may dwell in our hearts. He describes it in a number of different ways. He says, this reality, I don't know if you've tasted this before, it's like being rooted and grounded in love. It's this, he uses unusually beautiful language to describe this. He says that you may have strength. He goes on, here's the why again. He's getting at it from another angle. It's involving the mind here as well, right? To comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth. He just breaks off mid-sentence and he says, I'm going to come at it from another angle. To know, there we got the comprehending language, right? To the mind involved, to know the love of Christ. But it's more than the mind, isn't it? It surpasses knowledge. It's beyond knowledge. Paul's getting at this beautiful reality that is actually lacking in some sense in these Ephesian Christians. He's saying that there is, yes, Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you, but there is a greater fullness of God that you can be experiencing if God were to strengthen your inner being for it so that you could be filled with all the fullness of God. So I think that's what Paul's really wanting. He's wanting this strengthening to happen within them for this purpose, to be able to comprehend and to be rooted and grounded in love, to be able to have Christ in an experiential sense dwelling in our hearts. Friends, this is getting us up to the very heights of the already of the Christian experience. It is wonderful. One more question to ask this text before we pray. And that is, how is this supposed to happen? How does Paul think this kind of strengthening in our inner being so that we have Christ dwelling in us in an experiential way? How does that come about? And there are several different ways that we see that in this passage. And I'll just point them out to us and I'll let you meditate and reflect on them. The first thing we see, how this is going to be done, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be done gloriously. He says, before he even says that he wants us to be strengthened, he says that this ought to be according to the riches of his glory. Okay, so it's going to be done gloriously. How will it be done? It will be done graciously as well. This is a gift that he may grant you. He may grant you. This is going to be totally of the Lord if it happens in us or in any other believing community. It's going to happen, friends, not necessarily subtly or in a way that you can't tell what's happening. This is going to happen powerfully. Powerfully. You're going to be strengthened with power. And it's going to happen by God Himself, that is, through the Holy Spirit, right? It's going to be a pneumatological event. It's going to be an event of the Spirit of Christ among us. Finally, he says here as well, not finally, but one more after this. How is it going to happen? This might not be visible. This might not be something that the natural eye can see. This is going to have to be perceived and experienced through the eyes of faith. And so we're being called here to faith. And finally, what makes me most excited about being here together with you, about ready to dive into prayer, is that, friends, this happens with all the saints. It's not meant to only happen alone in secret. It's supposed to happen there, but there is a kind of fullness and a climaxing that comes to this experience of Christ dwelling in our hearts gloriously, powerfully, freely, invisibly, when we gather together and ask for this kind of strengthening. So this is a special and important moment for the life of the church. Friends, this is what Paul's heart for this community, and I think every other community, he's praying this for them, he's praying this for us, and I think that we ought to pray it for ourselves as well. There's a couple different ways we can do this as we go forward. I think a great place to start, and if we get stalled out for a few minutes or a few seconds, I'll come in and give some more direction as to how to pray next. But I mean, let me ask you guys, how do you think this kind of a passage should direct our prayers as we pray together this morning? How would this passage focus your prayers after everything you've just heard of what Paul's praying? Yeah. Yes, yes. He's very kind to want to give this to us. Yes. I think one of the places for me, friends, to start in prayer is just if what Paul's praying is that we need a strengthening, just to confess, Lord, we are weak and in need of this gift of strengthening in our inner beings. We just confess our lack of this kind of giving, of this kind of strengthening. And so would you come and meet us right now, even as we pray? I think that'd be a great place to start. I think it'd be, I mean, as we move forward from there to touch on another, several other of these aspects here, to be praying, asking that the Lord would would give us this reality in green, that this would be our unified testimony at Summit Christian Fellowship as believers, that Christ is unusually dwelling in our hearts, that we are a people that are rooted and grounded in love. And so we're going to keep going here, but why don't we start by just taking a few moments and asking for God's help, asking for this kind of strengthening. And just a couple keys, since this is our first time praying together. Don't feel like you have to preach a sermon when you pray. Okay, feel comfortable. These can be short, direct prayers. And also, don't, just as an encouragement, as one of the pastors here, don't feel awkward with the silence. I mean, this time is for us to be communing with God, walking with God together. And so I might feel awkward at first if there's moments of silence, but just remember me saying this, it's okay. It's okay if that happens. Let's have our prayers be focused and fertilized by this passage and all that Paul's after here. Does that make sense? Okay, so Craig, would you just start us by asking for this kind of a strengthening? And then friends, join in after that and build off of that prayer and ask for the same kinds of things here. Let's pray. Craig, would you lead us?